The Book Nook on WYSO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from Clark County Public Library, Dayton Metro Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, and Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome to the program today Lawrence Block. He joins us on telephone in New York City. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Vic. How are you?
Excellent, Lawrence. I just finished reading your book that's coming out here in a couple of weeks. It's called Dead Girl Blues, and it looks like this is your own imprint that this is on. Tell me about this.
Yeah, I surprised myself by writing this. I've been thinking for several years now that I'm probably done writing novels. And I started writing Dead Girl Blues thinking it would probably be a story, maybe a long, short story. And over time, I stayed with it, and it began to grow until it was clear that it was going to be a novel, not a long novel, but definitely a novel. And so I wound up with a book I hadn't planned to write at all, and I gave it to my agent, and he showed it to a ton of publishers. He only wanted to show it to the best houses and only to the top people at the houses, because one thing we could see about the book was that it couldn't be published in a small way. If that happened, it would disappear. It had to be published by someone who was going to get in back of it and put some muscle into it. And all of these publishers did look at it with that in mind, and they all passed. We got an offer from a decent enough house, but it was not the sort that inspired confidence. And I thought it over, and I thought, I think I'll publish this myself. I've had some experience with that. I've published some other things, either published them entirely myself, or had a small press issue a limited edition hardcover while I retained the paperback and e-book rights. So I've had some experience with that, and I know how it works. And one thing that happened in the course of marketing it was a lot of people might have liked to publish the book if it were different, if it were not as dark as it is, if various elements were changed.
Mm.
And my agent said, if you change this and if you change that, it would be more commercial and I could probably sell it for a decent price. And I thought, if I'd wanted to change things like that, I wouldn't have written it the way I did in this particular book. And Vic, it struck me that the book didn't owe me anything. I had written it at a time when I didn't expect to be writing anything. And it had come out the way I wanted it to. And I didn't have to make money on this one, so that's always nice. But I really didn't want to do anything to compromise what I had wound up putting on the page. And a nice thing about publishing something yourself is that you get to make those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I've done. And it'll be coming out on June 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Which is my 82nd birthday.
Oh.
And that's another thing you get to decide for yourself when you're publishing it. You get to pick the day. That was another reason for self-publication, actually. Not so that it could be on my birthday, but so that it could be sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
publishing, if I'd found a house and gone with a house, it would have been another year or 15 months before it came out. Now, given the virus and everything, it would probably be at least a year and a half off. Mm-hmm. And this way I can have it now. And when you're 82 and old enough so that you hesitate before buying green bananas, sooner rather than later is not a bad thing.
Lawrence Bwalk joins me. His next novel is Dead Girl Blues. And Lawrence, what kind of excuses were the publishers giving you for passing on this book?
Well, none. They didn't give excuses that didn't make sense to me. I had to acknowledge that they were right and that it probably was not a terribly commercial property. For one thing, it starts with a very, very dark scene, which puts a lot of them off. And another thing was that then having started this way with a rape and murder, it doesn't turn into a thriller exactly either. It becomes instead more of an introspective book, so that it doesn't pay off in a big way for people who were, you know, delighted with the idea of a rape and murder as a starting point. So I can understand that. If I were a publisher, I don't think I would have seen this as a big book. Mm. And so I don't resent anybody who passed on it. But I'm glad I'm living at this time in history when one can successfully publish one's own work.
Mm. So you felt a sense of freedom in a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there are sacrifices. You don't get reviewed particularly. Most media don't review self-published books. But there's still the whole world of internet reviews, and that those have been very generous so far. So we'll see. I figure all I can really expect for the book, or really hope for the book, is that it find those readers who would be inclined to want to read it.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Well, Lawrence, I'm going to say right now, I'm going to guarantee you one newspaper review. I plan to review this for the Dayton Daily News. You have one. You have at least
one. Lovely.
Okay? So you can put that on the tote board. My guest is Lawrence Bwalk. His new book, Dead Girl Blues.
Well, I'm delighted to hear it.
You got it, Lawrence. Okay, so you alluded to the fact that you were through writing novels pretty much. Do you want to talk any more about that?
Well, I will say that over the years, I've thought this before. And in a sense, you could argue that I've really made a complete hash of retirement. but it's true to a degree. This book, as I said, surprised me. But there haven't been many novels in recent years. I've had a few novellas that I wrote, and I've had a variety of books that I've published or had published over the past few years, but that's mostly a result of rounding up and repackaging earlier material one way or another. I had a book out. I had two books out this past year. One called Hunting Buffalo with Bent Nails, which was a collection of all my non-crime-related nonfiction pieces I'd written over the years. And I have another book that was a collection of my columns for a stamp publication that came out under the title Generally Speaking. That really wasn't new writing. It was enough to keep me busy. and it was enough to keep new product on the virtual shelves and all. But I think it's probably getting to be time to stop trying to write fiction. I had a long, long run at it. My first stories were published in 1958, and that's a hefty amount of time ago. And I wrote, an awful lot over those years, all those years. And, you know, it's easy to try and pretend that age is just a number, but it does have an effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen in my own work, and I hope Dead Girl Blues is an exception to it, but I've seen in my own sessions at the computer that age affects both the energy one brings to the table and the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Both of which are essential in order to get much done.
You're listening to The Book Nook. Lawrence Block joins me. His new novel, just coming out in a couple weeks, is Dead Girl Blues. And as we open the book and we see your selected bibliography, it's pretty amazing, Lawrence. Do you even know the actual number of books you've written? Can you even ballpark it?
No, I really don't and can't. I do know that a fellow named Terry Zobeck, who's a collector and bibliographer, has put together a bibliography of my work, which he brought out a couple of months ago, and which I of course helped him with to what extent I could. And I think there are over 200 books listed in the separate publications listing. And I proposed as a title, he wound up calling it A Trawl Among the Shelves, but I suggested as a title for it, The Man Who Wrote Too Much, because that seems applicable to me.
Uh-huh.
I don't really know what the actual numbers are, how many novels there were, how many nonfiction books, mm-hmm. how many anthologies, but a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lawrence, we're going to pause for a moment to take a break, and then we'll continue. You're listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. Stay tuned. We'll have more with Lawrence Block right after this. You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, your home for independent news and handpicked music. It's The Book Nook. My guest, Lawrence Block, joins me on the phone in New York City. His new novel, Dead Girl Blues. Okay, Lawrence, You've got a guy, our narrator in this story, who, as you mentioned earlier, the book starts off with a terrible, terrible, violent act, and he commits it. And then he's looking back now. We're reading, what would you call this, his journal, his memoir? He's recording his thoughts and his memories.
Yeah, he's the book essentially is his writings, his diary or journal or whatever that he's keeping on his computer. And so we have his voice in present as he's writing it, and we have his recollections of what happened and so on. It was very interesting to write. It was interesting to... I hope I got the tone right. It felt right to me.
I think so. It's pretty creepy, though, being inside this guy's mind. It kind of makes your skin crawl.
That's good. It should. I remember some years ago, I was talking about courage is an element for a writer, and that it doesn't play a tremendous part in most respects, because what we do is certainly not physically dangerous. There's no one shooting at me while I'm sitting at my desk. Nothing like that. That the extent to which courage is important, well, there are a couple of ways. One is to be willing to write something without screening it out because you're afraid people won't like it. But another is that element of writing that requires one to look at and even disclose aspects within oneself that one might not be thrilled with.
Mm.
And I think that's what a writer's job is with all of his characters, is to find the part of, I have to find the part of myself that resonates with the character I'm putting on the page. And not everybody is always willing to do that or able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a reader, when we read something like this, we feel that connection, that vicarious feeling, as we think, yes, it's true. I have secrets myself. There are things about me that nobody will ever know, that I will never tell. If I did tell them, I would gloss them over. I would leave parts out. And we connect with that in this sociopath's memoir.
Yes, exactly.
And he spends most of the book in a very quiet little community about an hour's drive north of our studios. What made you decide to put this in Lima, Ohio?
You know, I don't know. It's not a place I'm familiar with.
Uh-huh.
I know that somebody I went to Antioch with wound up as a reporter there, but we didn't have any contact. We had minimal contact to begin with, and none after she went there. But I just was conscious to that extent of the existence of it. And, you know, he was driving across the country, and he had to stop somewhere. So I just kind of picked it out.
As I was reading it, I don't know when you started writing it, but I'm thinking that a certain news story might have had an impact upon the writing, and that's the one where they finally tracked this guy down in Northern California who was living this quiet life, but he had committed all these terrible crimes, and they finally caught him through DNA evidence. And they had to, like, fish through his garbage. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I think that, I'm not sure whether that broke during when I was writing it or after I finished or what, but there were a lot of different DNA stories like that, certainly, in the news.
Mm-hmm. Reading this book kind of made me a little leery of getting my DNA tested.
Well, it's perfectly okay as long as you haven't done anything.
There you go. Well, I'm perfectly innocent, as I'm sure you are too.
So far, as far as I know.
Okay. You have been very busy. It seems like every time I turn around, I see you've put out a new ebook. You've put out a reissue of a previous book. You've probably gone from having 100 books in print to having 150 in print in the last few years, it seems like.
Yeah, just about everything of mine is back in print now, which is very satisfying, actually. A lot of the titles don't, they bring in like $1 a month. I mean, it's an extremely slow way to get rich, but it's nice that the stuff is out there so that people can read it if they want to.
You've written so many books, more books than you can even remember writing, under so many pseudonyms. The occasional one must pop up again and surprise you, huh?
That has happened. When we were doing, I was working with Terry Zobeck on the bibliography. I mentioned to him, or wrote, I think wrote in the introduction, whatever, about a book that I'd written at a time when I'd been locked out of all my markets for paperback originals. Back in, maybe 1963 this would have been. And I was living in Buffalo, New York at the time, which is where I grew up. And someone, and I don't know who it was or where or how he found me, but heard that I was a writer and had been doing these books for various paperback houses. And he was starting a paperback house and wanted me to do a book for him. And it was, the whole thing had a very shady feeling to it. So I went home and I wrote the book. And it was like I handed him the book with one hand and he handed me the money with the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's how we did it, because I didn't know who he was and didn't trust him. And anyway, I'd written the book, and I used a pen name on it that I didn't use on anything else. I used the pen name Howard Bond, because that was the brand of typing paper I'd written it on. And I had no idea whether the book was ever published or not. I heard nothing further from it. I didn't know the name of the imprint or anything else. And when I recounted this, Terry Zobeck, the bibliographer, who's a demon for research, managed to determine that a particular book by Howard Bond had been published by such and such an imprint at this particular time, and obtained a copy. And gee, that was the book. I'd forgotten everything about it, but the pen name. I looked at it when it came, and I can see that it was indeed my work, but I have no recollection of a single word in it. So, yeah, there were quite a few books, and indeed more than I can remember.
Was that one that you decided to reissue then?
I haven't decided to yet,
okay.
But I may somewhere along the line.
Can you take us back to your early years in publishing, that need to be writing so many books a year in order to survive financially? Was it just that you were fizzing with ideas and stories?
Oh, I don't know to what extent I was busy with it. I was that productive of ideas and stories, but that was kind of the deal, and it was easier for me when it was easier for me to go on and stay with what worked, and with the sure sales and that, rather than take chances. So that when one publisher wanted a book a month from me and another one wanted frequent product and that, it was easy enough to agree to do that.
Mm.
And I had a desire to be productive. And curiously, that remains. You know, I hope Dead Girl Blues is an exception, but in the main, I don't have anything that I haven't written that I really have a burning urge to share with the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a need to feel that I've done something during the day, during the week, and to see tangible evidence of that in the presence of a new product on the shelves.
Mm.
And you'd think I would get over that by now, but it seems to run deep.
Yeah. In case you're just tuning in, my guest is Lawrence Block, and his new one, Dead Girl Blues, is written in the form of a confession by a sociopath. And, Lawrence, I have a confession to make. Those last couple of questions were provided to me by one of our mutual friends. I reached out to him and I said, I'm going to be talking to Larry. Give me a question or two. And he responded right away, and he fed me those questions, our dear mutual friend. And I bet you don't know who it is, but I'm going to tell you.
No, I'll let you tell me.
Ian Rankin.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yep.
Yes, yes. Wonderful fellow and a wonderful writer.
Really. And one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Lawrence, you wrote under pen names initially. And what was that first novel? Wasn't it kind of a kinky novel?
The first novel that I wrote, but before I started the first novel, I had published quite a few crime stories in the crime pulp magazines. But the first novel that I wrote was published at the time as Strange Are the Ways of Love. I've since retitled it Shadows. And it was a novel about a woman's investigation of her sexual identity in the late 50s in Greenwich Village, a lesbian novel, essentially.
Mm.
And that wasn't the first published was written a couple of months after that, but because it went to a publisher with a short production time, it came out first, and that was a book called Carla, which was I suppose we would call it softcore porn or erotica or something of the sort now.
Mm. And now it would probably seem very tame.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. In fact, a lot of the books that I've reissued and under the imprint of Classic Erotica would probably today be more logically categorized as romance.
Mm. You're listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. Lawrence Block is my guest, and we'll continue with one more segment of the interview right after this. It's the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis. I've been joined by Lawrence Block on the telephone, and I'd like to wish you a early happy birthday because Dead Girl Blues is coming out on your birthday. So happy birthday, Lawrence.
Thank you.
And what's your life like now with this virus? Is it pretty much unchanged, or has it really changed your life?
Well, it's probably changed my life less than it would change most people's lives because I've said that social distancing and isolation are sort of my default mode to begin with. But I ordinarily would leave the house more and have occasional lunch with people and that, and now I just stay home all the time. But it hasn't changed my work at all. That's always been responding to what comes in on the computer, and so on. I will be pleased when this is over.
Hmm.
And I'm afraid that's not going to be for a long time.
Yeah.
What's it like in Yellow Springs?
Well, some people are being very careful and very nervous and paranoid, and other people don't seem to be concerned at all. It's probably just like it is there.
Yeah. Very much so. In fact, when they announced that they were now opening certain things commercially, a lot of people seemed to have responded to that with the thought that, well, it's all right now. There's no more virus, and they stopped wearing masks and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's strange.
Yes, very much so. I know we have readers out there listening who are saying, well, you need to ask him about some of his other books that are so well known, like the series featuring Bernie Rodenbaugh. Tell us about Bernie Rodenbaugh.
Sure. Happy to. Bernie Rodenbaugh, as I trust absolutely everybody on the planet knows, but I may be wrong about that, is a character I've written 10 or 11 books about. He's a very nice, affable fellow and who runs a secondhand bookstore and who supplements his income as a burglar.
Uh-huh.
And he's stood me in very good stead over the years, but I don't think there'll be. People always ask, will there be another book about him? And the answer is no, but there was a new book that just came out a couple of months ago called The Burglar in Short Order, and it's not a novel, and there's not really much in the way of new material in it, but it's a collection all in one spot of the several short stories and various newspaper and magazine pieces that he's appeared in over the years. And I would love to write a new book about Bernie, except I don't think I can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of the other characters as well. I think I've played those particular strings as far as they'll go.
Uh-huh.
Matthew Scudder, I've written, something like 18 or 19 books about one way or the other. And the most recent was a novella called A Time to Scatter Stones, which came out about a year and a half ago, I think it was. And I liked that. I was very pleased with the way it turned out. But, Scudder is my age.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake of aging him in real time. I also made the mistake of aging myself in real time. You know, it's a mistake none of us should make.
Uh-huh.
But he's, he's up over 80 now, and he's not about to run around and have the kind of adventures that are essential for that kind of book. Also, it just seems as though it's time to stop with that.
Uh-huh.
Another character I have is a fellow named Keller, who's a killer for hire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm just done with that. I liked the books. They were a joy to write, and I'm glad they're out there. But I don't think I can take any of those any further. So that's one of the reasons that I feel I'm probably done with fiction. On the other hand, if something comes along and really animates me the way Dead Girl Blues did, I would probably write it, and I would probably welcome the opportunity.
Mm.
So it's hard to know.
In Dead Girl Blues, your narrator, the man who has committed this terrible crime, he thinks of himself in one section, I think he calls himself a serial killer, yet he only kills the one person. Is this because he still has the desire to kill?
I suppose. I suppose he identifies himself as someone who would have been would have committed other murders if he'd gone down that road.
Mm. How long did it take you to decide on the ending?
I never quite decided. The book, it's absurd to say that a book writes itself, because it doesn't. It doesn't get written at all unless my fingers tap the keys. But I was never that sure where this was going to end or how.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have us on the edges of our chairs as we read this. We keep waiting. we keep waiting for this ending, and it was really nerve-wracking. The book is Dead Girl Blues by Lawrence Block. Lawrence, I know you're a longtime philatelist, a stamp collector. What is your area of specialty? What countries do you like to collect, and what periods?
Well, first of all, I should say that a couple of years ago, I sold up everything, so I'm not collecting anymore.
Okay.
I decided that I'd largely lost interest, and I would rather, dispose of my collection while I was here to see to it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did collect was actually the very same thing that Keller collects, and that was the first century of philately, the whole world from 1840 to 1940.
Okay. Those beautiful stamps.
Yeah. It was great fun, and it always I could always get away from whatever mood I was in by just going through the business of working on the collection.
Mm. When I read Dead Girl Blues, it made me think, how many sociopaths have I encountered in my own life? How common are they? And it brought back memories. I could remember many years ago, I worked for a guy who insisted that I take vacation with him, just the two of us, at his cabin in a remote part of Minnesota. And I went there, and I had forgotten to bring any books. And so when we arrived, I said, "Do you have any books? I forgot to bring any." And he said, "Just the one." And it was a pictorial history of serial killers. And he started laughing.
That was his one book?
Yeah. And I was there for a week.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So it made me wonder. Nothing happened, but...
Yeah. You just weren't his type. Sociopathy is more widespread than one might hope.
Uh-huh.
And it frequently, it doesn't become murderous at all, but a lot of top people in the corporate world are sociopathic, certainly. A lot of people, I think, I'm afraid, in politics are sociopathic.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if you have no empathy and no conscience, success, there are a lot of impediments to success that just don't arise for you. It's a fascinating thing. Charles Williford, I knew a bit, and I read his books, and one of his volumes of autobiography, I think it was called I Was Looking for a Street, he discusses in there and self-diagnoses himself as sociopathic.
Hmm.
Which is fascinating to see not only that kind of insight, but that kind of willingness to be upfront about it. And I'd really recommend that to anyone. I was really struck by it. Now Charles was an extremely ethical human being. But if you read some of his work, you can see how that it might be the product of someone with certain pieces missing in his psyche.
That's Charles Williford?
Yeah.
Well, on that subject, what kind of stuff do you like to read? What do you enjoy?
Oh, I up until this this pandemic, I would have said that I don't read very much.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do because there are not that many other things to do, and because I seem to have lost any taste I ever had for drama on TV. I just can't seem to watch that these days.
Uh-huh.
But what I've been reading almost exclusively has been John Sandford, all of whose books I own and had read, but I just started rereading the Prey series and read like about 25 volumes of it in a row. And he's a writer that really works for me. A lot do. But I often have difficulty getting caught up in reading fiction these days. Fortunately, I can still read Sandford. And a great thing about age is that not too many years have to go by after I've read a book before I can read it again for the first time.
I have discovered the same thing, and I agree with you about John Sandford. I've had him on the show a number of times, and he is really a master. And I'm actually kind of fond of the Virgil Flowers books. Are those a little too light for you?
No, I like those as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like them all. I wasn't crazy about the science fiction thing that he wrote.
Oh, right, yeah. Well,
yeah. But all the others.
And wasn't Sue Grafton another one that you liked to read?
I read quite a bit of Sue's books. I liked her enormously as a person.
I did too. I was hoping she would make it to the end of the alphabet.
She got close enough.
She did. Well, Lawrence, this book, Dead Girl Blues, I was up late at night last night, and it made me a little nervous. I had a hard time getting back to sleep after I
really?
Read it. Yeah, yeah, it made me a little worried.
Well, I'm sorry that you missed the sleep, but on the other hand, I'm really glad to hear that.
And I like the title. It took me a while to really appreciate the title, but I think it's a very good title.
Thank you. It took me a while to come up with it. And the other titles that I had along the way, the working titles, I didn't like, and neither really did anybody else. And then Dead Girl Blues actually was a suggestion made by a friend of mine who hadn't even read the book, but we were tossing title notions back and forth, and he came up with that, and I thought that's it. And then the production person I work with, she and I worked out the cover, which I like, and I'm happy with it. I hope people like it.
Okay, Lawrence, looking back over your long career, your long life, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you? Is there one thing that stands out?
The best thing that ever happened to me?
Yeah.
Well, it probably wouldn't relate to career very much, I think.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know the best thing that ever happened to me was getting together with my wife.
Uh-huh.
We've been married now for, 36 years, I think it is. It's a second marriage. And it's fulfilling in a way I never thought anything could be. So that's one thing. Another thing is that I stopped drinking a little over 43 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that has made an enormous difference.
Well, you've certainly been scoring some points with our listeners with those responses, Lawrence. I think you got some thumbs up on those. And none of us are getting any younger.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah. So how would you like to be remembered?
I'm not sure I too much care.
Uh-huh.
It would be nice to be remembered, I suppose. But, I'd like to stick around as long as I can.
Uh-huh.
I know that.
Yeah.
I look at the world, and I'm not that crazy about what I see, but I'd still like to stick around and see what happens next.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if it was a novel that we were reading instead of reality, we would all say, this is not possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whoever is writing this ought to rethink it.
Uh-huh. Well, I really appreciate talking to you about this book, this new novel, Dead Girl Blues. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. Lawrence Block wrote it. It's coming out on his 82nd birthday. And Lawrence was kind enough to contact me, and we've been talking on Twitter now for about 6 months. And you like Twitter, don't you?
I do. I do. It's handy. I sometimes wish they hadn't increased the 140 character limit because that forced one to be a little more concise.
Uh huh. Do you read President Trump's tweets?
Oh, the president's tweets? No, I blocked them.
Okay. Yeah, I don't follow him, but I do like to at least see the reactions that people are having to him.
Yeah.
Just because I want to know what he's up to.
Yeah, well, he's always up to essentially the same thing. But, yeah.
Okay. Is there another book possibly out there, an anthology or something like that you're working on?
Oh, yeah, there's an I had an anthology published just recently called The Darkling Halls of Ivy, which is stories by various writers, Ian Rankin among them, set at an academic background. And I have one more anthology that's in the works, though I have no idea when it'll come out, but it's about collecting and collections. And some interesting people have contributing stories to that, but that I'm sure won't be published until sometime in 2021. And after that, you know, I have no idea whether there'll be anything or whether I'll be writing anything more. I don't know.
When you say collections, you mean like stamp collections or?
Yes, things like that, collectibles.
All right.
A fellow named Junior Burke wrote a terrific story about collectible guitars and I'm trying to think what else is arrived at. It's an interesting lineup.
I had a neighbor years ago who had a collection of salt and pepper shakers, and she was a good religious person. She was a Baptist. She read her Bible every day. And one time after I got to know her a little bit, I used to buy eggs from her. She said, up there on the top of the display case, I've got some salt shakers I don't want the grandkids to ever see. And she showed them to me, and man, were they erotic.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, Lawrence, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time.
It's a treat, Vic.
My guest has been Lawrence Block. His new one is Dead Girl Blues. You heard about it on The Book Nook. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.